welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. Should we have more laws or more guns? That is the question of today in the wake of the horrific shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast.
Hey, that's a third try.
What's going on, America? I am Grim Allen. That is Alyssa. She is being annoying this morning.
I'm not. I was singing Rolling.
Good Monday morning, America. Good day morning, guys and
good
ladies
morning.
Of my life. Ladies of my life. I corrected it on my own. That doesn't count.
Alrighty. What you been doing this weekend?
Well, sometimes I refer to Jake as my lady.
That's right.
As well. So,
that is true.
Anyway, Jake, how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Didn't do a whole lot.
Me either. I had legitimate... I know how your weekend was, sweetheart. You were with me.
I wasn't. I did a lot of stuff without you.
With who?
All of our church people. All of our church
lady.
People.
Your ladies.
My ladies.
No, I had a... Just, I was done with people the weekend. Like,
yeah.
I was done. I was shot. I still haven't recovered from the DC trip.
Mm.
And now I'm traveling again this week. Which I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm excited about the opportunity, which I can't tell you yet, but you'll find out eventually, America. But at the same time, I'm just tired of people.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go.
No more people.
I thought about going to the pool, but I was like, oh, there's people there.
There's people at the pool.
So Netflix and
took
chill.
Took a bath.
We should buy.
Yes. Nice.
So I went and took a bath instead. Good compromise of things. America, there is a lot of things to talk about today. As you can tell by the title, you see where we're going to go. But we decided to do this slightly different, and we're going to wait till the latter part of the show to get deep in depths of guns, gun laws, gun control, El Paso, Dayton. We just watched President Trump speak live, so mm-hmm. you're getting live updates. And yes, we are addressing one of your most asked questions. You asked us to address Dan Crenshaw's tweets about the TAPS Act, red flag laws, etc. So I figured what better way to do that than to actually have a message from Dan Crenshaw himself. And me and him actually had about a 40-45 minute conversation this morning. So we're going to play that later on and we're going to talk about it. But first, let's talk about funny things. Let's have some fun this morning, America.
Yay, Monday morning.
Alyssa.
Yes.
What do you got?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I thought you had fun stuff.
No,
I got one while you're looking yourself.
Okay, go, Jake.
So this is very
professionals here, everybody.
So, Cardi B, she's been getting into politics recently.
Gosh.
Thank God. Yep. It's about time.
I've been waiting for somebody like
Cardi
that.
Cardi 2024.
So Bernie said, today Cardi B and I finally met. Had a great conversation about the future of America. And let me tell you, Cardi B is right. Together, we'll get millions of young people involved in the political process, blah, 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 blah. And Cardi B tweets yesterday, I wonder how pee tastes like.
I saw that.
Are you serious?
I wonder how pee tastes like. Yep, she's the voice of the future.
No, she said it more ghetto than that. How did she say it?
I wonder how pee tastes like.
I wonder how pee tastes like.
That's gross. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, most people would be, I wonder what pee tastes like,
kids,
or how pee tastes like.
If you're looking for somebody to give you guidance on politics
life.
And life in general.
It tastes a bit like socialism.
Yeah.
Pee.
I wonder what Bernie's thinking today.
Cardi.
Oh, God.
I always wondered that too, actually.
No, he probably knows. He seems like the kind of guy.
Oh my gosh.
Should I drink pee? Do I have to drink? No, but it's sterile.
Socialism makes you do some crazy stuff.
All right, go, Alyssa.
I got one about like the dumb criminals. So I found one. It's a cocaine dealer, Mark Slender, who has updated his technology and uses a chip and pin reader to take credit card payments from all of his customers.
Hey, that's
unfortunately, it only lasted, I think, a little while before police were able to trace everything that he had sold and connect them also to his, dealers and his
clients,
consumers,
or something.
Clients. Yeah. So, yeah.
And he didn't think that one through.
Nope. Not at all.
All right. I'm reading through. I have one funny thing, and then we're going to try to get to some questions. We did this last week. People responded overwhelmingly. They really enjoyed it. They like hearing their questions. read and answered on the podcast. So we're going to do that. But I have one funny thing. So speaking of Bernie, Ben and Jerry's is in the news.
Oh, I saw this.
Ben and Jerry's founders created a new ice cream flavor in honor of Bernie Sanders. It's called Ben's Best, and the name of it is Bernie's Back! Exclamation
Bernie's
point. Ice
back.
Cream flavor. Bernie's back.
Guess who's That's back?
Disgusting. My question back is, again. If this is truly a Bernie Sanders in honor of, does that mean it's free?
No, there's just a little bit.
Do we
bit
have
of,
to buy?
Just a little bit of ice
just
cream.
A little, just a little, Carl.
It's like a fourth of
ice
cream.
It's not a pint. It's like a...
I'm just saying, if it's free ice cream, I'll check it out, but I'm not paying for it.
Bernie's right. back.
I'll
Bernie's
eat free back. Ice cream
see,
all day.
Mind,
back again.
I see. I was thinking that, but Bernie's then I thought about back. Like his literal back, and then it kind of grossed me out. Like, is it? Ugh.
Bernie's back.
Yeah,
Bernie's
I
back.
I tried not to think
Bernie's
of that.
Back. Sorry,
it went. Bernie's back. I like how y'all are ignoring my straight Slim Shady.
I've been singing all morning. I sang that first. See,
that's
you
not
talked
true.
Over me.
That's a false
attitude. Roll it back.
Lie.
Roll it back, and all you'll
right.
see.
Let's try to get into some questions. Like we said, there is a lot of things to discuss today, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to try to do our best to not be on here for 3 hours. But
Please.
I'm going to try to answer some questions. So bear with me here. I'm going to answer 98% was about everything that happened over the weekend and about Dan Crenshaw. I'm sure that people are starting to write in about President Trump since he literally just had his press conference. But before we get into that, let's hear a word from our sponsors. Did you know, on average, it takes police 45 minutes to respond to a home security alarm? Almost an hour. When a home security system is triggered, a lot of the time police assume it's a false alarm and the call goes to the bottom of the list, but not with Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has video verification technology which helps police get on the scene up to 3.5 times faster. Simply Safe also protects every door, window, and room with 24/7 professional monitoring. They make it easy on you. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. It's won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times and Wirecutter. Prices are always fair and honest. Around the clock monitoring starts at just $15 a month. And for my listeners, Simply Safe has a huge deal going on right now. Go to simplysafe.com/dearamerica and get free shipping and a money back guarantee. That's simplysafe.com/dearamerica today. simplysafe.com/dearamerica. So first comes from, I'm not going to read your name because some of you, I don't know how to pronounce it. How can we listen to your podcast without Apple Podcast, Jake?
You can go to SoundCloud. You can go to, what's that, FM one?
I don't know.
Wherever you
Spotify.
Get, Spotify, wherever
iTunes.
You get your podcasts.
Yeah, wherever you listen Apple? To podcasts.
YouTube.
Yeah. The podcast is available. Yeah, and YouTube. You can listen to us on Watch Us as well.
Later
on
in the day at about 4 o'clock, usually the video is posted.
Yeah, iTunes is just, it is by far the most downloaded and subscribed area because most people listen to Apple iTunes or Apple Podcast. But it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. So that's a good one there. Let's see. Wondering your thoughts on Blue Line Hate. Ooh, this is a good one. They're talking about Thin Blue Line Police, obviously, when they do this, for those of you listening. I put a tweet out last night, basically in the midst of all the, you know, the mass shooting things and just tearing everyone apart. And we're going to go into that a little bit later. But I said, let's take a moment in the middle of all of it and give credit where it's due, that the Dayton Police Department responded to it in less than a minute, and they had the shooter down within 2 minutes of shots being fired, right? Now, one life is too many. No one's negating that argument. 9 people died in Ohio. I think another 20-some-odd were injured, 26 injured, something like that. And that was in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. So imagine if our men and women in wearing badge in, they're not in blue, none of them are in blue, but anyways, the Thin Blue Line, imagine if they were not there watching over us. Imagine what that would have been. I mean, think about that for just a second. Less than 2 minutes, right? I gave credit where it was due. I thought it was worth mentioning, and you would be amazed the amount of people that came on just bashing the police, man.
It's amazing
That's
how
so
you can
sad.
You can hate the police and criticize them all the time, but then when they're not there quick enough, you know.
Yeah, but what is quick enough? Less than a minute.
Here's a quote that I loved that seems appropriate to read now. Dayton police could not have done a better job responding
exactly.
to this senseless yeah. act of violence. We cannot commend them high enough. We are assisting them still in every way we can in their investigation.
People forget about responding, okay? To respond to something, what has to happen first?
It goes something. To like...
an action, right? An action oh, has yeah, to yeah, happen yeah, for yeah. you to respond to. So police aren't like telepathic. Like they can't see the future. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like they can only react as they are trained amazingly too.
And it's the person calling. They don't
yeah.
call the police
how
directly.
Long did a, how long did a phone call get in? I mean, guys,
and
think
right.
about
I don't think
this.
We think, you know, I have a heart for the dispatch
yeah,
girls,
the dispatch.
Men and women. And I always have. So good. No one's thanking them, but thank y'all too.
That's
because
quick
dispatch
thinking.
Is... has a
that's
very
what I'm
high
saying.
Role
a minute has already passed since you started that. Like,
yeah.
like that's how quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's how quick they responded. So. Anyway, so I thought it would be very good. I posted that tweet and then I got an email and I thought that I would read this email, give you guys some cool insights into our life here. All right. So this is actually from one of the officers that responded in Dayton. All right, so I'm not going to put any names or anything, so don't worry, my friend. You're safe with us, but this is what he wrote. It was a he. I guess I can say that. I was one of the officers that responded to the Oregon District in Dayton, Ohio last night, off duty and at home. Mm-hmm. I am a sergeant with 23 years of experience on the job. It was one of the most horrific scenes I have ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. I was at one time a forensic investigator prior to being promoted to sergeant and have seen some tragic scenes in my day. The officers involved did a tremendous job of stopping that coward before he was able to get into a bar and kill everyone inside. I want to say thanks for standing up and speaking up for law enforcement. This is a thankless job where you are not wanted until events like this happen, and then we are everyone's best friend.
Yep.
Thanks again for all you do. God bless. You got it, man. We are the most pro-police that... I don't know. Find somebody that's more pro-police than we are. And I think you're very right. I think it goes without saying, everybody wants to hate on the police until you need them. And then when you need them, you want them. And then afterwards, you can do the hindsight 2020 thing and then say what they should have done differently.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you to our men and women
in
blue.
Much.
Thank you guys very much. All right. So let's move on here. Let's see. How to argue with liberals. Ooh, that's a good question.
Take it, Graham.
Me? The truth is you can't out-argue a liberal. You just can't, because liberals are the best at arguing, but arguing is not debating. Those
right.
are two
exactly.
different things,
and
right?
And they use emotion. It's just like, you know, you can't argue if you're a Christian with an atheist. Like, there's no...
Arguing
yeah.
doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do any good.
People
it's
in general
emotional.
Don't go into arguments trying to have their mind changed.
Exactly.
You know, they're coming in to try and show you something. Even Republicans, when we go to talk to a liberal, we're mainly doing it to change their mind.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're not open-minded about it either.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So take the higher road. Don't engage in arguing.
Bring examples. Bring numbers. You know,
yeah.
if they say cops are racist, ask for numbers. You know, how many cops have killed black people? You know. Unarmed, bring all the numbers in, because usually it's at that point when they're arguing on emotion
right.
that you start to win. But it's
be
tough.
Careful, because then they'll get really angry and
call you names.
Exactly.
Call you names.
See there, you guys told me to take that, and you did a fantastic
well,
job.
Well, Jake did.
I'm
not an arguer.
I concur completely. All right, let's move on. Let's get some questions knocked out here. When you going to do a USO tour, Alyssa?
Oh my goodness, someone's calling me.
You're supposed. You
I'm sorry.
Are supposed to have
I'm
your
sorry,
phone
Jake, I'm sorry.
On airplane
I'm sorry,
mode.
I'm sorry. Here, I'll do it. This.
We are.
It's not vibrating.
Picking up
okay.
that, but ladies and gentlemen, she should be a pro by this point. This is episode 22, and we're still having. I love her to death.
Okay, USO tour. So, I actually did reach out to someone about doing it, and we are in talks about that because that's on
yep,
my
yep,
heart.
Yep,
I know
yep,
it's
yep.
on Graham's heart. Jake doesn't know about this yet, but I'm sure it's on his heart too.
Jake, we're super pumped to tell you we're leaving for 2 weeks
Woo!
To go to Afghanistan.
Come on,
for
buddy.
Real?
That's what
Not
we're
yet.
Working on.
We're working on it. We're working
wow.
on a USO
Which
tour.
You're coming. I don't know if you know that.
You're
going to
podcast,
Afghanistan, buddy.
Afghanistan.
No, on a serious note, for everyone, all of our service members, you know, I say this all the time. I was nobody special in the Army. I wasn't.
You were special to me.
No. There was nothing special about me. I wasn't infantry or anything like that. But I love and respect everything that our veterans do, all the way from our Delta guys down to, I don't know, cooks, postmaster, everybody is important. You all play the role in our armed forces, and we love you and appreciate you for that. So it has been a calling on Alyssa's heart and a calling on mine as well. For me, it's always been kind of like this true full circle moment, right? To have so many years ago been overseas in the war and now to go back in this capacity. I think it'd be really cool. I think it would be awesome to film some shows from there. Can you imagine Dear America live from Afghanistan?
Yes, Afghanistan. And we want to have like them on and like, right, I think it'd right, be really right. neat.
Well, I don't know what the qualifications are. I mean, I know that you go to Germany and Europe and all that other kind of stuff, and et cetera. I don't know what the qualifications are to actually get in Afghanistan, but I just think it would be awesome to do a Dear America USO tour. I think that would be fantastic.
And if anyone knows how to speed that along,
yep. If anybody
you can write
listening
me.
Knows any anybody in the USO entertainment world where they do that, we are completely open for it, and we would love to. All right, one more question, and then, like I said, we have a lot to talk about today, and so we're going to get into it. So, last one: how much the church / God should be involved in politics?
Well, this is a big thing of Graham, so I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. I think that there's a separation of church and state for a reason. However, I do believe the church is supposed to play a role in at least offering its thoughts, right? Like you can offer your opinions without interfering. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the church isn't writing policies. The church isn't signing off on any doctrine that, you know, the nation as a whole is going to
believe and listen to. And you don't even have to say who you vote for or anything like that, but you speak truths of like abortion or different. I mean, when you're speaking those truths, the people are the church, and then they go out and those are the people who write.
I think the church does have a responsibility
to do it.
Just like any other group or organization within the nation thinks they have a responsibility to talk and state their beliefs and their purpose and their reason why, I think the church does too. My biggest issue with the church today is, I've said it once, I'll say it a million times, I think the worst thing the church ever did was get into this 501c3 charity garbage. It was formulated under the veil. It is garbage, and this is why. Okay, it was formulated under the veil of, oh, this is going to separate church and state to where the government can't mess with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the church went into it going, oh, we get to keep all our money. It's charity. You know, we can fill God's word more. The government's not going to mess with us. But what ended up happening was the government ended up putting a muzzle on the church because they said, now you can't say that anymore. Because if you do, we're going to take your 501c3 away. And then, you know, so what ended up happening is church ended up shooting itself in the foot. And so that's what happens. You talk to a lot of these pastors, especially pastors in like mega churches, mm-hmm. like big time pastors. Watch. All the big time pastors won't say crap about nothing as far as what's actually going on politically. They won't say a thing. All the small town pastors we'll say it all day long, loud and proud, but the ones that actually have a lot of reach and resources, they won't speak. And why? Because they don't want to lose their money.
Right.
and that's just the truth.
And was that question saying, what do you feel about church and politics or politics and church?
No, I think there's a difference. Do you think that the church has a responsibility to play a role in voicing its opinions about what's going on
in
politics?
I think the church doesn't want to drive people away, so I don't think they, you need to vote for this person. But if you speak truth, and I do think the biggest thing the church did is stay in that bubble, and that's just a disaster. You don't need to stay in the bubble. We're here to reach the lost. That's usually outside of the church.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? So
But you cannot drive people away and still be very clear in what you think and what you believe.
I feel like politics has become so like ingrained in everything we do that for a lot of people, church is a good escape where they don't have to hear the same crap they've been hearing throughout the week.
But if you're aligning your truths with your political beliefs, then they do kind of mesh.
Yeah.
If you're preaching on truths.
Again, I think the church has a very big responsibility to voice its... The role of politicians supposed to be, much like the Supreme Court, is to do what? It's to interpret the Constitution as written, right? Mm-hmm. I think the church has just as much of a responsibility to interpret the Bible as written as it applies to what's going on in our society, right? Okay. They're not the lawmakers, they're not the rule makers, but they have a responsibility to do that. All right, I think this is an appropriate time to get into our first sponsor, and what better lead-in from the church angle than to talk about underwear?
Yay!
Ladies! Do you ever have concerns about your husband's underwear?
All the time.
Or, ladies, do you like wearing I don't know, men's underwear.
All the time. Yeah,
my wife does for sure.
Graham, why are you doing an underwear ad? Because I wear underwear. I'm a dude. Every single person wears underwear, you liars.
Sometimes I don't.
Sometimes people go commando.
Sometimes people are promiscuous, but we're not going to get into that here. All right. What I'm saying is, as the summer sizzles, do you feel like you're cooking in your clothes? If you can't handle the heat, you need new underwear, and Tommy John has the perfect solution. Tommy John's innovative cool cotton underwear for men and women is a summer must-have. It's like your own body air conditioner.
Ooh.
Tommy John men's and women's underwear sport a no wedgie guarantee.
What?
Yeah, it's true. I almost want to show that I'm wearing the underwear, but I feel like Jake, can you do it? Can you show everybody?
Yeah, okay. Inappropriate.
All right.
Jake, here's the thing.
Here's the thing I like. All right, ladies and dudes, especially, our jeans and our pants are getting tighter. Even maybe you need to lose a couple pounds, or you're in the gym all the time and you like to show off your definition.
That's it.
That's my problem.
That's my problem.
Anyway, people, your jeans are getting tighter, and what shows on your jeans or your leggings all the time? Then your underwear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the lines in your underwear show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The legs in Tommy John underwear never ride up. The waistbands never roll down.
Oh.
And their unique design ensures there's no pinching or bunching ever. So, ladies and dudes, hurry to TommyJohn.com/Graham now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Graham for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Graham.
Nice.
Now, going back into the thing that all of you have probably been waiting 20 minutes or so for us to get into, and that is the horrific acts that happened in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. But before we get into that, we want to do things a little bit different here at Dear America Podcast. We want to make sure that first and foremost, we remember the people that need to be remembered. So we have the most accurate working list available right now of the victims. And so Jake is going to take it, and we'd like to have a moment to remember the names of the people that actually need to be remembered.
Yes.
Yeah. And I apologize if I get pronunciation wrong on these. So we have Jordan Anchondo and Andre Anchondo, Arturo Benavides, Mario De Alba, Jessica Coco Garcia and Mimo Garcia, Angie Inglesby, Leo Campos, and Mirabel Hernandez. And the Mexican nationals were Sarah Esther Regalado, Adolfo Ceros Hernandez, Jorge Calvillo Garcia, Elsa Mendoza de la Mora, Gloria Irma Marquez, Maria Eugenia Legareta Rothe, and Ivan Filiberto Manzano. And the Dayton victims are Megan Betts, Logan Turner, Lois Oglesby, Nicholas Kumer, Thomas McNichols, Derek Fudge, Nicole Curtis, Monica Brickhouse, and Saeed Saleh.
Wow. So I hope that moment felt weird to you guys, as it should. I hope that you will play that back and listen to those names. And that's not the names of everyone affected. Those were simply the ones that lost their lives up to this point. There's still a couple that have not been named either for nationality reasons or family next of kin notification reasons.
And before we jump in, I just want to say that, you know, our hearts truly are with you. And I know we have been praying for you actively. We're not just saying that. We actively are praying for you, and our hearts really are with you.
Yeah, and before we get into really dissecting this thing down and unfortunately the politicizing of this that has occurred already, which we knew it would, we want to make sure that first and foremost we do as right to those that have fallen as we can. And so again, we would like to take just a couple seconds of silence to remember those that are no longer here. Okay. All right. So let's shift gears here now. We've given reverence as best we can on a podcast. But let's talk about what actually happened, okay? So two cowards, that's their name. We will not be sharing the names of the shooters in this podcast because I am a firm believer in not doing that. I think that it is just disgusting, these people that do exactly what these people want, in my opinion, and just post their names everywhere, their photos everywhere, blah, 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 blah. If you were looking for the guys or the girls, I would get it, but you got them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no point in it. As controversial as I'm going to get on this segment, when I say that even despite the horrific events that took place, we do not have a gun problem in our society. We don't. Okay. And here's why. When I was in school, in the parking lot, you would walk around and there'd be 270 rifles, hunting rifles and everything in the back window. They weren't even trying to hide it. They were just hanging and mounted in the back window because guys would be coming in from the woods hunting. They would get out and go to school. We had not one problem.
Right.
Not one. Mm-hmm. No one was afraid. No one was scared. That was simply the way it was. So what has happened? Did the guns change? No. Did we come up with some kind of Skynet Terminator thing where guns have a mind of their own and they just go around shooting people? Mm-mm. No. We have a societal problem. We have a cultural problem. We have a removing God out of everything problem. We have a breakdown of the nuclear family and lack of true masculinity problem.
Amen.
We have a problem of political divide to where you cannot disagree without being the enemy anymore. We have a lack of love and respect for human life problem.
And I would just like to say, too, like when you're not grounded in anything, because I feel like no one's grounded in anything anymore.
No, they're
values
not.
Values or morals. Like
chaos.
But that breeds confusion and chaos.
Yeah.
So it's breaking us apart.
Yeah. And so you look at these individuals that will remain unnamed. But when you start diving into their psyche and their actions and how they think and how they feel, you will discover that a lot of these people have a lot of problems, man.
Right.
And they have a lot of warning signs. Many of them have a bad home life in some regard. A lot of them are the Dayton, Ohio shooter has now come out to be satanic, believes in Satan, not atheist, no, worship the devil. You know, and there's really no, as much as the mainstream media is trying to post this as white nationalist terrorism, that's a lie. The El Paso guy, yes. If you read the manifesto, there's a lot of things talking about overpopulation and he hated immigration, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, call that for what it is. But then you look at the Dayton guy, and he's a satanic leftist that thought Elizabeth Warren was actually who he'd vote for. You know what I'm saying? So it's not right-wing terrorism like the media is trying to paint it.
Yeah, it's like the big blame game. He was also, the El Paso shooter was also an extreme environmentalist, which is definitely not a right-wing thing to be. And I think people like Booker and Beto putting this at the feet of Trump is pretty disgusting. Because we would never think to say, hey, that Dayton shooter, that's because of Elizabeth Warren. It's like, no, it's because of mental health. Anybody who thinks it's a normal
thing. Or the baseball
thing.
Game shooter that almost killed Scalise was a Bernie supporter.
Yeah.
So Bernie Sanders should be blamed.
But we didn't blame them back then. We said, this guy's a lunatic.
Yeah.
You know, and like Trump just said in his address, you know,
mental
health.
We're going to get into that too.
Mental health is a big thing that we need to be focusing on.
Yep. And Alyssa, social worker side, what do you think?
We'll get into it later. But yes, I do agree that mental health, I don't think it can be a right or left. It is people. It's a people. It's a societal problem. And so I don't think putting it just in this, okay, well, this is what it is, fold that away, you know, whatever. Yeah. It makes no sense.
And to say that Donald Trump inspired that by his rhetoric, I mean, you can just look at some of the things celebrities are saying about, you know, Trump supporters. Tom Arnold, he just posted a picture of Donald Trump Jr. that's probably 15 years old.
Yeah, the elephant, yeah.
Yeah, he's like how he's standing over the elephant. And then later says, looking forward to the day that I'm standing over him wearing my bullet belt. How can you say that you want to, that's inciting.
It's not Trump. Look, here's the thing, all right? These cowards, these sick, demented people that deserve the death penalty, okay, in my opinion. Plain and simple, you got them dead to rights, video evidence, they killed multiple people. You deserve to die, period. It's the way it is. The El Paso shooter, yes, he was a white nationalist, okay? He was racist. He hated everything that was immigration. He had problems with overpopulation, which is leftist viewpoints, and he was worried about the
automation,
the climate, and all that other stuff. Yeah. But the problem is people are trying to spin this, that there is this problem with white men that support the Second Amendment. And that they're Republicans and that they're white wing terrorists. But here's some of the things on the Twitter account of the Dayton attacker. And again, he will go in name, but here's some of the things promoted by his account. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Antifa, leftism, socialism, Satan, strong anti-ICE rhetoric. He called terrorists who attacked the ICE facility in Tacoma a martyr. And those are just a few of the things that he did. He also killed his own sister, which if you don't think we've got a mental health crisis in America, then you're not paying attention. But here's some of the things that I want to talk about. At this point, everybody knows what happened in El Paso and Dayton. What I want to talk about are some of the things that are now starting to spin up, right? So you've got gun control now trending. Of course, it happens every time that there is a shooting. But the biggest thing that I want to bring up right now is, go ahead, Alyssa, you've got something.
Oh, I was just going to say, since we were talking about that, that I actually had someone write me who will remain unnamed. And she said thank you to a post I made. She said, I live in Dayton. The shooter was someone who graduated a year before my daughter was a freshman. My daughter did color guard with his sister, who he shot. We knew the family. They are amazing. They helped me when I didn't know anyone in the area. Thank you and your husband for making this not a gun issue. He needed help, but guns had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, well, again.
And that's from a community member who was there. I mean, I just think we need to remember, I hate how it's just being already just so politicized.
But mental health is a problem. So what I'm trying to say is, you cannot tell me that there wasn't something that the kid was doing. You know what I mean? Some kind
of
signs. That's what I'm saying. And so mental health has such a stigma around it that even parents are slow to acknowledge and try to do things about it.
Or I disagree. Or it's really not that stigmatized anymore, because I had tons of clients. So almost where it became a trend, unfortunately. But it kind of goes back to the parents, because it's hard to get a kid twice a week the help they need or to carve out time. So again, I think it goes back to the home life a lot of times.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can continue, Graham.
No, I'm just saying. So the point of this podcast is, everyone knows where I stand, okay? I'm pro Second Amendment till the day I die, period. I don't think we need more gun laws. I think we need more guns. I mean that's just what I believe and how I feel. I feel like guns are natural deterrents for people that mean to do you harm. It's just the way I feel. Okay, if this guy walking into the Walmart knew that 9 out of 10 of every person had a gun, you see what I'm saying? Like you cannot tell me that would not deter someone from doing evil acts.
Well, the El Paso shooter, in his manifesto, he was basically telling other people who wanted to do similar things to not pick high danger areas to do it. He's like, don't go attack places where there's already police, where you're going to get shot down and it'll be a waste.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So pick
a soft target,
low
a gun
security.
Free zone.
Exactly.
A gun free zone. So, and I want to show, you know, people will argue policy and they'll argue stats, which if you really argue stats, the stat goes towards the most pain inflicted places of gun violence or gun free zones. But what I'm saying is, look at the morality and the people aspect of it. The only person besides police, as far as we know, as reports have come out so far, that did anything running into danger, okay, was I think he was either a reserves or National Guard guy with a gun, mm-hmm. Okay?
He was off-duty Army.
He was, okay, what was he, active duty? Okay, either way, this is a military guy, all right?
And his name is Glendon Oakley.
Yes, let's give Glendon Oakley some credit here. But I want to point out the psyche of this, okay? And if this podcast does anything, I want to try to break these arguments down as best we can. All right, and we have, I spoke to Dan Crenshaw. We have a voice memo from Dan Crenshaw to come soon, because he's taking a lot of heat now for some things he tweeted. But here's why I say we need more guns. The person that wasn't the police that ran in to Danger to help.
And he was in another store.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a hero.
Yeah, he was in another store and ran out, okay? One, it was just because of the hero that he is in his heart and in his soul. But two, it was because he had a gun and he knew that he had an opportunity to do something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if you don't have a gun and somebody else does, you've got no shot. Period. You've got no chance to really effectively help, and you're probably going to die for trying to help. Okay. Whereas if you have a gun, you have the opportunity. It's you against him, or you against her, or whatever it is. It's a level playing field
and
at
you,
that point.
You accept it in your mind that you still might die.
You accept it in your mind you still might die, but for God's sakes, you're not going down. And without swinging. And that's what I'm saying. You can look at the people that try to help. That the Texas not too long ago, and don't make me lie, he spoke at the NRA. The guy that actually took down the guy that was shooting everybody.
Oh, he was amazing.
Was an older gentleman, and he had guns in his house, and he literally heard it, and he told his daughter, he said, "You stay here, mm-hmm. I'm going to help."
And this was
Sutherland Springs.
Yeah, that's it, something like that. And that's what I'm saying.
Can I just read this? I'm sorry, because Glendon, I think he's such a hero, but he said, this is his quote, "I heard four kids died," he said, his voice softening. "I wish I could have gotten more kids out of there. I wish those guys who ran would have stayed. I just think, what if that was my child? How would I want some other man to react?" And then he paused and said this, "I wish they had some sense of service."
Mm. Yeah.
Talking about those who ran past him, because he said he grabbed as many as he could.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, not everyone is called internally to fight. And, you know, I mean there are, you know, fight or flight response. I mean, there are people that are
but
just
I
not
think it
designed
ties into
way.
What you're saying about that sense of service that was in his heart.
Yeah.
So, and he carries a gun. And so, well, like you said, he ran in.
Yeah, but my point is, again, you show me every veteran out there and you don't have a gun in their hand and you tell me every single one of them would run in. I don't necessarily believe that, you know, because as military, we're also trained to assess, you know, the threat levels and things like that as well. What I'm saying is more guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens leads to more protection of law-abiding citizens.
And just a side note, the Sutherland Springs hero is Stephen Williford.
There he is, right there.
It is.
All good. Right, but now let's get into, we're going to start leading into Trump here, and then we're going to get into Dan, because I asked you guys to submit questions, and overwhelmingly, people wanted to hear a response about Dan Crenshaw. So we'll get into that in a minute. But let's talk about Trump and how everyone's blaming Trump for this. Okay? This is actually in the manifesto, all right, of the El Paso shooter. All right? And he says at one point, "I'm putting this here because some people will blame the president or certain presidential candidates for the attack. This is not the case. I know that the media will probably call me a white supremacist anyway and blame Trump's rhetoric in a macabre, self-fulfilling prophecy. The media is infamous for fake news. Their reaction to this attack will likely just confirm that." All right, so even in his crazed manifesto, he even says that his beliefs and his intentions dated before President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
He's always felt this way. Et cetera, et cetera. So to sit there and blame the president for, I don't know, people are saying that his rhetoric is, I don't know, bigoted and hated and all this stuff. But then Bernie Sanders comes out and he tweets the fact that we have the most racist, bigoted, homophobic, horrific, white supremacist president ever that's fueling these people. And I simply commented back and I said, and how is this tweet any different for what you're blaming the president for? So, and we'll get into my conversation with Dan here in a minute, but let's talk about, try to summarize what the president said live. So for those of you who have not heard already, by the time this comes out, the president has called for red flag laws. Now will that get passed? Who knows? You know, given the climate of the culture right now, you have to believe that it may. And then there's a difference between state and, you know, national red flag laws and stuff like that. But he did call for that.
And he asked everyone to put aside their differences for a minute and come together to try to figure this out.
Well, yes. And so he talked about violent video games. He talked about mental health issues and things like that. And so I don't know. The red flag laws and the TAPS Act are two of the biggest topics of conversation right now. To be completely transparent, red flag laws scare me and they worry me.
Yeah.
Not because, to me, it's kind of, I guess the best way to do it is, me and Dan really got into this, and I think the best way to go about this is to play a voice clip from Dan, because this is what you guys really want to hear anyway. Play a voice clip from Dan, let his words speak for him, and then we can talk about red flag laws, the TAPS Act, and in our conversation. So I think that's the best way to go about it. But before I play that, let's take another break from our sponsors. As we've already stated in this podcast, we here at Dear America are firm Second Amendment loving Americans. So for all of us here at the Dear America podcast, we believe in the Constitution and respect the Second Amendment. Yes, we are talking about gun law abiding citizens. There are a lot of holster brands to choose from. Some are good, some are not so good. But what does your holster say about you? Starting at just $37, We the People holsters are custom made right here in America. Their designs are updated monthly in-house, which means they don't use third-party molds. They even have their own 3D design team who measures every micromillimeter of their guns to ensure the perfect fit. Their unique and intuitive clip design allows for you to easily adjust both the cant and ride of your holster so that it will fit comfortably and securely at all times. Go to wethepeopleholster.com/Graham and get yours today. Every holster ships free and comes with a lifetime guarantee, but that's not all. Enter the offer code Graham and receive an additional $10 off your order. Support your country, defend the Constitution, and support a great American business. Satisfaction guaranteed. WeThePeopleHolsters.com/Graham, offer code Graham. All right, so going back into it, like I said, we're going to play this clip from Dan, and then we're going to kind of break down our thoughts and things like that. And I'm going to try to paraphrase our 40-some-odd minute conversation as best I can, but we're going to listen to him first.
So the first thing people need to understand is the difference between TAPS and the notion of red flag laws and gun violence restraining orders, which, by the way, the NRA supports versions of. People should know that. When it comes to the TAPS legislation that I co-sponsored, what we're really talking about is providing local law enforcement with the same analytical tools that a lot of federal law enforcement agencies already use. Okay, the Capitol Police uses these behavioral threat assessments. This doesn't change the laws. It doesn't change the way laws are implemented. It doesn't change the ability of law enforcement to confiscate weapons or prosecute or do any of that. Okay, it just gives them extra tools to analyze behavior and hopefully prevent mass shootings or other crimes. When it comes to red flag laws and gun violence restraining orders, we have to remember something as conservatives. We always say that it is the person, not the gun, that did the killing. Well, that's exactly what the approach is being taken here. Okay, we're talking about the ability of a court to receive evidence from a family member or a doctor or a police officer, receive evidence of threatening behavior by an individual, and then act on that evidence and temporarily confiscate weapons after going through due process, and also ensuring that there are safeguards put in place so that these laws don't go too far. It's totally understandable that a lot of people think, well, hey, there's a slippery slope argument to be made here. These laws can go too far. And, you know, there are good red flag laws, good versions of them, narrowly focused, individually tailored. And then there are bad red flag laws. Okay, that is true. And yes, Democrats in Congress right now are looking at legislation that would go too far. And we should be against that. And we should articulate why. But just because we're against those bad versions of this law, it doesn't mean that we're against the concept in general, and we should be able to have this conversation where we can talk about the right way to do this, the right way to prevent these kind of atrocities, and do something that works and also does not infringe on the rights of gun owners, law-abiding citizens across the country. That should be our focus.
It's good.
Okay.
All right. So you heard that straight from Dan Crenshaw. He also sent me two texts while we're filming that I'm going to read real quick, and then we're really going to get into this here. Because, Jake, I know you have some thoughts. Alyssa, I know you do as well. He says, also have to note, many vets think this applies to them if they have PTSD. It would not. Also should note, many states have these laws in place already. California, Florida, there are. I mean, that is true. And so far, there hasn't been the widespread or unfair gun confiscation that everyone fears. Some laws have been in place since the 90s.
Yeah.
All right. So Dan, as he always does, makes a lot of great points. And the reason that I thought it would be important, not only because you guys were asking for a response to Dan's tweets, which I'm sure you also would want a response to the president's tweets if, you know, I had asked before or after his address. I thought it would be important to show you guys, not only hear from Dan, but also hear the conversation we had in context, to where two people that are friends, both veterans, one politician, one civilian, both claiming the same party, don't agree 100% on something. And we had a very good conversation, very respectful conversation. I pointed out my fears. He pointed out his rebuttals to those fears. Some of those he addressed in that clip you just heard. The whole slippery slope argument and everything, that's obviously was me saying those things. You know, I hear where Dan is coming from. I really do. I do. I get it. My concern and why I think this is a slippery slope is because we're not talking about people like Dan. We're talking about if this goes into place, and now the president is talking about it, which you have to assume, if the president is calling for it, that we're talking about nationally at this point, you have to assume what happens when extremists get into office that are anti-gun. What happens then?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the same argument was made about Trump declaring national emergency funds for the wall, declaring national emergencies to go after guns, which Kamala Harris has already done. She's already said on Twitter, this is a national crisis, gun stuff. She's also said that she would be pro sending police to people's homes to confiscate banned firearms. So that's what you're up against there. And my argument to the red flag laws would be this. TAPS Act, I don't necessarily disagree with the TAPS Act right off the bat, and this is why. Dan did a really good job of saying this and pointing this out. A lot of people merge the two together, TAPS Act and red flag laws, which eventually the TAPS Act would work alongside red flag laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
But using the TAPS Act, which is basically an extension of assets for law enforcement and medical professionals to work together to identify these people that should be red flagged. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So even though they're very separate, they also, they do work together. And me and Dan talked about that too. And Dan's argument was that a lot of higher level law enforcement divisions like the FBI, CIA, and things like that, they already have this kind of stuff. All right. What they're talking about is giving that same ability to local police departments through the TAPS Act. And, you know, I let you make your own assessments about this. But back to my point about red flag laws, people bring up Minority Report all the time. And Dan even brought this up because I was going to hit him with it if he didn't. You guys ever seen the show Minority Report?
Yeah.
You ever seen that movie? OK, for those of you listening at home that may not have seen that movie, Minority Report is a movie with Tom Cruise made quite a while ago.
A long time ago.
But basically, it's about a police department that can predict people doing stuff before they do it. And then they arrest people ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Dan immediately shot this down. He thought that argument was ridiculous and so far-fetched and crazy because obviously we're not using telekinetic super people to predict and all this stuff. we're using, or they would use, excuse me, let me clean up my language there. They would use doctors, family members, things like that to pick these people. Like I said, my problem is more with the red flag laws, and here's why. We're either a constitutionally based society or we're not. And so when this goes to the Supreme Court, which it will have to, okay, is the interpretation of the Constitution pro red flag laws, or is it not? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the hard question that we have to ask. You're either, we are either constitutionally based society or we're not. And the Constitution says that the rights to own and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's what the Constitution says, right? No matter what kind of concoction we can stir up, no matter what happens, et cetera, those people, before they broke the law, had every right to own a firearm, right? Based off the Constitution. And I don't know. Again, it's a slippery slope.
But he specifically said, though, you know, a grave risk to public safety, red flag laws, extreme risk protection orders. So he's introducing legislation like that. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, because honestly, as counselors, we already do that. If you were to come into my office and say, hey, I want to kill, sorry, Jake. And then I'd have to say, okay, do you have a plan? Just like a suicide, you know? Yeah, I do. I have a gun in the car. I'm fixing to go pop Jake off. Okay, well, then I have, I have to, at that point, say, you know, you need to stay here. I have to call the police.
Yeah.
Like, we have already some of those implemented. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's a slippery slope, because how would this actually go down? That's the question.
And it's similar to, like, hate speech laws. Like, who determines what's hate speech?
Well,
who
the First Amendment does not protect inciting violence against other people verbally.
Sure.
It does not protect that, period. Like, you cannot say, you should go kill this person. You know what I'm saying? Like free speech does not protect incitement of violence.
Oh,
sure. It does not.
What I mean is, so who's next after Trump? Say Elizabeth Warren, God forbid. That's
what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. It is a slippery slope. But that also scares me, because if they're quickly, and we've seen this before, trying to pass legislation, a lot of times if it's passed quickly, it's not done well.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of loopholes, so it's not effective, or it's...
I brought it up to Dan like this. I said, to me, even though they're completely different circumstances, and one's gone, one's not, you look at the Me Too movement. Now go with me on here, okay? The original purpose of the Me Too movement was to empower women to speak out against these people that did these horrible things, right?
Right.
In its formation, it was well-intentioned, mm-hmm. and it was meant for a good purpose. But then what happened? Society, the media, and the liberal news media and all this stuff perverted it, and they contorted it to where it has essentially changed the foundation of our culture. And now you're no longer innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty and have to prove that you're innocent. So it took a good intentioned thing and it perverted it. I think with red flag laws, you're entering into the same potential thing here. Okay. Yes. On the outskirts of things, it makes a lot of sense. This dude said he's going to go kill somebody with a gun. You need to go get him now.
Mm-hmm.
That's common sense, right? So now we're talking about common sense laws, okay? Same thing of, should kids be arrested for putting a lemonade stand on the street? No. You know what I'm saying? Common sense laws. My thing is, if you open it up nationally to where you list these criteria, that if you fall in these criteria, what actually constitutes falling in those criteria? Do some people just have to say something? You know what I mean? Like does a simple allegation enter into that? Do you have to have evidence? Do you have to have proof? You know what I mean? Like what are the orders? Should you be sent to see a counselor first before you get your... You know what I mean? Like that's the slippery slope of what I'm saying. What constitutes falling into the criteria that you would be a harm to people and yourself? That's where it gets really in the gray area. And on the outside looking in, this person is bipolar. This person's off their meds. This person said point blank to multiple people, they're going to kill this person with a gun. Of course that constitutes, well, maybe we should go over there and we should detain that person until we can get to the bottom of this. I don't think any sane person is saying, well, that doesn't make no sense. What people are worried about is what happens when you put in place a law that people can interpret however they want. There's loopholes to everything. Literally everything. We deal with it every day. Contracts, one word can change the entire thing, and you can manipulate a contract and a law however you want to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't feel like every time we've seen, usually when legislation is rushed, it's usually not done well or effectively. And so I'm very curious to see what, how this would play out or how it would look.
Hashtag Dear America, I'm very curious your thoughts on this. What do you think about red flag laws? What do you think about the TAPS Act? Jake, I know you've got a lot of thoughts on it. So what are you thinking?
Well, like Dan said, you know, we could at least do what we can up to a, you know, constitutional level. Like, I'm sure there's stuff we could do to prevent it without overstretching.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's who gets elected next that can we add to these red flag laws? Can we say, okay, now people who are on anxiety medication, now people who voted for Trump, you know, in the last election, they clearly shouldn't have guns. Like, where's the line that we can...
I am 100% pro Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not for anything that would inhibit the rights and freedoms of an American, a law-abiding American citizen. Okay. I am completely open for conversations of expanding upon or improving a right and a freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I am not for any conversation that would diminish a right or a freedom. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does.
There are ways to expand upon things that would not infringe upon an individual person's right and freedom.
I do agree with Dan. If I, because I just heard that for the first time, just for y'all listening.
Yeah.
But it sounded like if, you know, doctors, a counselor, family, it would be put into evidence and then have to go before court. Am I interpreting that right? And then they would.
You would assume, yes.
Then they would temporarily, is what I heard.
The judge would sign off on a restraining order, is what we're talking about.
I'm okay with that because you kind of do the same thing with domestic violence. Unfortunately, all the time it doesn't work because people still find ways around or are used to a gun. But I'm okay with trying to instill, you know, some measure of protection.
Right.
If it is done correctly. And that's always where, unfortunately, well, people are people.
And that's
and
where people
weird.
Are freaking right. out. It's not people like Dan that obviously have common sense intentions in mind that people are afraid of. It's
right.
people perverting what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
but does that mean we shouldn't do anything?
I don't know.
Right.
No, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do anything. I'm not saying that. Obviously, excuse me. Obviously, there are issues, and obviously there are problems. Obviously, there are people that take advantage of our rights and our freedoms with the Second Amendment. No sane person is arguing against that. What they're saying is you can't disarm citizens. You can't punish the millions of people. There's 5 million NRA members, just NRA members. You know what I'm saying? And so somebody said there's been 249 mass shootings this year, something like that, which, you know, I would like to see the mass shooting
in America
to statistic.
Yeah, it's been 17. America.
Yeah, 17. Yeah, that's the real one. Okay, so if you really look at 17 as opposed to 5 million just on the NRA registered gun owners alone, I mean, you're talking about, and let me preface this, I'm not saying that one life is too many. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is if you look at the percentages of the law-abiding gun owners as opposed to the people that abuse those rights and those freedoms, I don't know. You can't punish. You just can't punish all the 99.8% of people.
But I don't think Dan was talking about punishing them.
I'm not talking about Dan. I'm talking about the people that would take what Dan's talking about and perverting it.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
What about the Parkland shooter down in Florida? The cops were called on him dozens of times. He was insane.
Broward County has already been proven to be an inept place they handle it.
At what point should we have intervened in that situation?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That makes sense because they had multiple cases of this kid showed signs of serious aggression and ill will towards people.
But how easy is it for a teacher that doesn't like a kid? Like, obviously it was
situation.
That
is the slippery slope. Well, it wasn't just he said, she said stuff. It was like he had documented stuff.
Sure, but for somebody who it is like a he said, she said, a weird kid gets bullied and reported for...
I will defend, though, you know, to some, you know, for professionals who are doctors, I mean, however, if they set it up correctly, I see it could be be a good thing if set up correctly. Because it can't just be. Because a lot of times, but a lot of times people think, oh, DHS, all they do is take your children. Okay, number one, no, that's not what we do. But I'm saying there has to be investigations. It's not just so, well, your rights are revoked now.
This is what I want to try to portray for everybody here. Is this is not an easy conversation to have, okay?
And all of us clearly disagree a little bit too.
I'm married to you, and you are the producer of the show, and we're not agreeing wholeheartedly on this. I think we're probably 90% there with each other.
Yeah.
Much like Dan is probably 80-85% there with Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I would ask everyone to say, and this is not an allegiance to Dan. Dan's my friend. We don't agree 100% on this. I think that's blatantly obvious, but we had a very civil conversation about it, a friendly conversation about it, is what I'm trying to point out is we are three very connected people right here in this podcast, and we're not agreeing.
Right.
So imagine what people like Dan and President Trump have to deal with all the time.
Right. Every day.
Right. Okay. And you also have to remember that, you know, people always accuse politicians of getting in office and changing. I think that there's a little truth to that, but it's not always a bad truth. Before you're a congressman or before you're a senator, you have no idea what it's like to be a congressman or a senator, right? So you don't know what's said and what's done behind closed doors. You don't know what these people deal with every single day. They have a different worldview than we do. Same with President Trump. President Trump deals in the, what do you call it, Alyssa, the macro of
the
it,
macro,
not the micro,
yeah.
All right? President Trump has to deal with the entirety of the nation in his decisions. And so sometimes, little old us, it's very easy for us when our only concern is our family, our 5 to 20 people that we immediately hold closest and most dear to us. I think it's very easy for us to sit back and go, well, look at him changing his views and his philosophy.
That doesn't make much sense to me.
That doesn't make much sense to me. Again, and I'm not saying that I agree with Dan on this. What I'm saying is me and Dan obviously are going to discuss this more as Americans, as friends. My initial gut response is I'm still very wary of red flag laws and things like that because I do. I don't trust people. And I don't trust that other people outside of Dan and people that may have good intentions would not pervert that. And that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not Dan.
Well, I agree with that, for sure.
That I don't believe in. It's not President Trump that I don't believe in. It's people. And, you know, if men were angels, and Dan said this, if men were angels, we wouldn't be having any of these kind of conversations in the first place.
So true.
And so I think that's very important.
But I think
to
that
remember.
Goes back to just, I don't know if we're wrapping up or not, but like we all said, that it's such a heart issue. I mean, the truth of the matter is we just need Jesus, quite honestly. If you want me to just preach for a second.
Preach it, girl.
I mean, it's true, though. I mean, these are heart problems.
Yeah.
And that's the root of it. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. And this is not a to fix the problem podcast. This is a to talk to you guys about what happened.
What's going on.
Some behind the scenes things that are going on. And to just add a little bit of context. And so the last thing that I want to put in context for you here, and granted, now you can pick these things apart all day long because the people that targeted in El Paso, that was obviously an act of terrorism. It was, okay? It simply was. But it is not always that way. And to put all of gun-related violence into that category, I think is not logical and it's not good and it's not honest. Last week alone, 73 people were shot in Chicago.
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The El Paso shooter was a white supremacist. The Dayton shooter was a leftist. The ICE bomber quoted AOC. Congressional baseball game shooter was a Bernie supporter. But according to the media, all of this violence is Trump's fault.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Yeah. And I quoted my friend Liz Wheeler there to give her credit. That's the point I'm trying to make, is it's not as simple as, well, these are right-wing white supremacist people that are doing all this stuff. All of the shootings that seem to be making national headline attention, yeah, I'll give you that. It seems to be a trend. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But yet, 73 people die in Chicago last week, and
you don't hear anything.
And I would guess that the color of the people committing those crimes aren't all white.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm trying to say is when you start talking gun laws, you talk about it based off these high emotion, nationally headline things. But then you don't look at normal areas, everyday areas like Chicago.
Baltimore,
Atlanta, all of these places where that's not going to stop the bad guys.
Why isn't there any emotion to those areas?
Well, you have to ask the question of that too. But that's what I'm saying is we are talking during heightened emotions based off of incidences that are horrific. I'm not saying that. But they get all the national attention. But just as horrific things are happening every single day within cities and cultures and societies in our country, that gun laws and red flag laws are not going to stop criminals.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing for perspective that I'd like to put out there today for you guys. We're well over our hour now. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe we'll address this. Me and Dan talked. I'd love to have him in the studio. You know, we were very thankful for him taking the time out even to talk and submit that. He's not even in the state right this second. But who knows? Maybe we'll circle back. You know, let's see what happens in the next couple of days since the President Trump.
Can I say something
addressed?
As we're
yes.
ending? I would just like to say as we're ending that, again, our hearts are with everyone
yep.
in these tragedies. But also just I feel proud as an American and thankful for all the EMTs, firefighters, mm-hmm. police,
yep. mm-hmm. God bless
civilians,
you guys.
All the heroes who have
all the people that donated blood, El Paso,
the blood
all
donors,
you guys, yeah.
The hospital workers. I mean, mm-hmm. I know I've social, just everyone, we're just, I'm just
even the
grateful
people who
and thankful.
Just
and
brought refreshments
exactly.
and chips
yep.
and
pizza.
Stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
so
y'all
didn't
y'all
faint,
make
all
us
stuff,
proud,
yeah.
and we are truly praying for you. And yep. if you don't think there's anything you can do for our nation, by the way, you can get on your knees and pray, because that makes a difference.
Yep. We know it's been slightly different feel, but we felt it was very important to give this one a slightly different attention. And we hope that you enjoy it. We hope that we offered some perspective. Hashtag Dear America on Twitter and Instagram. Let us know what you think. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast. That's all we have for today. And we'll see you again next time.
Bye.